You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca. Strutty, how you doing?
Tip-top, buddy, tip-top. The Giants lost again. We're right on track for what we want, a busy offseason in the front office.
Oh, well, yeah, very much so. I'll be looking for a coach and a few other things. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things go well. Maybe a GM, too, right? So, fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
maybe Dart should slide or get out of get out of bounds, because that's a clean hit, man. He's still in bounds.
You know what? He actually reminds me a little bit of Mike Riley. And the things he loved about Mike was his bravado and wanting to make the difference. But sometimes you just got to bend the knee. Like, we don't need it. We don't need that situation. So he's just got to dial it back a little bit, because that was – you could see that guy coming. He ran from the middle of the field, what was his name, Ellis or something, and absolutely blew him up. And he loved the courage, but it's only third and one. Yeah, we can get 1 yard. You can make it happen. So love the courage, just like Mike Riley, but got to understand when to do it.
Strutty, we talked about this but a few weeks ago on the show when I found out that the Olympic size ice was going to be 196 feet instead of 200 feet. So a little bit shorter. Now, 4 feet, some people say, it's 4 feet, but... You know what? If all of a sudden the neutral zone's 2 feet shorter and the offensive zone's a foot shorter and the defensive zone's a foot shorter, like, it just, everything's compact. How much do you think a difference, if any, 4 feet will make?
I wanted to play in that size rink, buddy. Make it smaller. Let's play on, like, a tiny little third of an ice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to skate. It makes a difference. It does make a difference. So, again, I'm not sure. Do you know exactly where the spacing's coming out?
No, that's what I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let's assume your breakdown is correct. Two feet in the neutral zone, that's a big difference, man, the way how fast those guys skate. So all of a sudden now, as a D-man, there's less room for them to operate, less room for them to build up speed, all those types of things. If it's more in the defensive zone, even better. Now it's tougher to create offense because you got 10 people jammed in a smaller dance floor, right? So it does make a difference. It's not going to be like, oh, my God, this is awful, but guys will find it. You know, you can cover that space just a little bit quicker. Your stick reaches a little bit further from the middle of the ice to the boards for that reason. So, again, this isn't going to be like moving the three-point line out to 50 feet, but it will have an impact, I think, offensively, harder to get open.
Yeah, well, like if the neutral zone's 2 feet smaller and you're a speed guy – That's two less feet you have to gain that speed to attack. So for defenders, I would think that's an advantage.
Oh, it is. You know, so you got to think about it. Let's say it's whoever's McKinnon's coming up the ice, and I'm trying to stifle him. Well, now he has less speed to get up and to get his speed going. Maybe I can stop him a little bit quicker, but also he has less time and space to make a choice. To make his play, like, what's my play going to be? Well, I don't know. I got a little bit less. And again, we're not talking about seconds. We're talking about fractions of seconds. But if anyone watched that Four Nations, everyone looked the same speed except for two players, McKinnon and McDavid. That's it. Everyone else is the same. All the other guys are all the same. So I think it will have an impact, not a huge one, but you will notice it looks smaller because it makes a difference. When I found I went from NHL ice to Olympic ice, well, that's a big difference we're talking about, but it was felt huge. So even a little bit smaller, it will make a difference, in my opinion, for how easy it is to get making plays.
Oh, God, yeah, 100%. I would agree wholeheartedly on that. Strutty, the Oilers Seattle game was easily their most complete game start to finish. I don't think there's one element. They're emotionally invested. They're physical. Defensively, they were good. Goaltending is excellent. They scored 5-on-5 twice. They scored on the power play. They didn't give up anything on the penalty kill. Like, everything about their game was perfect. All right now, and as Leon Draisaitl said, yeah, it was really good, but it was one game. How do you take that from one game to the next?
Well, you got to start with one game, and you're right. Last game, I loved that. It was low event, and I think that they made the game predictable for each other and probably most importantly for their netminder. So that's a great one. So how do you transfer it? Well, you review the same tape, this is one went well, guys. I liked your game, Jason Gregory, because you did this. Frederick, I liked your game because you did this. Reaffirm what the guys did well. Like, you know, they worked on their rush coverage, and you could see it was calm. The guys were coming back, stopping on the hash marks. It's when you over back check, and now one of their players, the opposition, hangs around those areas. Now the puck goes back, and now you look like you don't know what you're doing because you're trying too hard, right? You're doing too much. So I really like that they actually did less, but in the end, you're doing more because it looks simple. So that's just one example. Same in the D zone. Don't worry about anyone else's job. Just do your own job. That's all you have to worry about. And I think when you do that, it makes it a lot easier, and it just... You're not trying to do one and a half jobs. Just do one job. So, again, repeat, do the same thing, but remind specific players what they did right and what you'd like to see from them again tonight.
You go up against the Wild who, you know what, hey, their defensive game right now is red hot. They're pitching shutouts for fun, Stratty. They're pitching shutouts like you wear tight jeans all the time. You're the Oilers. How would you attack the Wild tonight?
I like the way this Wild team plays, and give Billy Guerin credit. He's done a really good job. I remember when he bought out those guys, Parise and Suter, I was like, whoa, that's a big one. Well, he was right, and he's built a team around that. Now he has a nice youngish group of players. But on the look at their D specifically, Griggs, and it's clear that Billy Guerin has valued smart, puck-moving defense. Not monsters. They're not huge for the most part, but they're smart. They move the puck well. So I think that for the Oilers, they really have to value puck possession, because what happens is that Minnesota is going to get them, just move it around them, and they're gone. So hold on to the puck. Make sure you're playing them below the tops of their circles. Make them work in their own zone. Make them, you know, struggle. They're a good defending team, but they're not amazing defending team because they're not super big if you handle that puck and keep it in their zone. And I've tried to attack them, go after D. I like the way their D play. Youngish. You know, we know Spurge is a little older, but they've got a good group of D that are really smart and like to move the puck.
Yeah. They're not overly big either, right? Like, you look at Brodin, yep. Faber, Spurgeon. Like, you know, they check with their brain and with their stick and their feet more than with their size.
Yeah, and that's what Billy Guerin's value. Like, you can tell Billy has a style of D-man he likes. Right? And they're all smart. Like I tell young D-men, watch those Minnesota guys. They're all smart players. I mean, they're not perfect. No one is, but they're all smart. And he's done a good job there. And they're trying to get that puck up quickly to their forwards. That's what Billy wants. So you can't let him do that. So you do that by holding on to the puck, trying to take the puck over the blue line. And if you are going to have to chip it in, chip it behind them, make them turn and get it, or maybe have a foot race. You know, put some bodies into them, be physical. Not that you can really intimidate this group, but you have noticed in the past, they haven't done great in the playoffs. So, you know, play a little bit of playoff-style hockey against them. Play in their end, make it hard for them, make it uncomfortable.
Jason Strudwick joins us. This homestand, Struddy, after tonight, it looks pretty favorable. Seattle, they're not that skilled, we know that. Marchment, who stirred the pot, might not even play his day-to-day. Then they got Winnipeg, who will be on their last leg, sixth game in 9 days, second half of a back-to-back, no Hellebuck. They just got schooled in Buffalo. Like, that's a game. Like, I'm sorry, that's a game you should win all day, every day. Then you got Buffalo and Detroit next week, and both of them are on their second half of a back-to-back. Like, Edmonton needs to take advantage of this schedule. They had a tough schedule early, but now they have a favorable one here for the next 10 days. You to me, they got to win... I say 4 out of 5.
So the Oilers are a mature team. They understand how to win, how to be winners, how to make it hard on their teams. You look at Utah. Utah hasn't learned that yet, right? Utah started off great. The wheels will wobble, but now they're in a tough time. They haven't learned yet how to just play their game and make the other team rise up and play against them. Find the Oilers. I'm like, guys, we need this. We need really good defensive hockey. Good specialty teams, and you know, hopefully that takes care of the 5-on-5, the defensive, and then they're gonna win these games. So be mature about it. Don't think about all five. Start with one tonight. They win tonight, it really, you know, it lines up the rest of the four, you know, quite nicely. If they lose, they can still do it. But I want to see a mature performance from the Oilers in all areas of the game, like we saw the other night against Seattle.
Looking at a few other things, Struddy, did you see the Lizotte nut shot on Hawthorne?
Oh, he got both bells on that one, man. That is, I don't like those kind of plays. Now, to be clear, I hate hits from behind more.
Yes,
but something like that is so cheap. It's so cheap. And now I didn't see the whole game. I don't know if there was something that happened before or if this is ongoing for a while. But that is really, really, really cheap. Now, I don't know. Is he getting any discipline for that? Is he getting a game or just a fine?
I'm guessing it's going to be a fine. I haven't seen anything saying he's having a hearing. So I'm guessing that most will be a fine.
Yeah, he got his money's worth out on that one. But I just, it's cheap. You know, like I don't know. To me, it's. You know, it's just chicken, in my opinion. Face the guy, do something differently. But to ring the bells like that, Greg, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Like, I rank that right below spitting in someone's face as, like, the cheapest moves to make on the ice. I agree. Like, dirty and dangerous are the hits from behind for sure. But just, like, cheap and annoying. And so Lizotte's a small guy. You're the Flyers. You're getting spanked anyway. Now, that's a good rivalry, right? Pittsburgh. I want as many rivalries ready. So on a random Wednesday night, I'm like, oh, Pittsburgh's playing Philly. I'll turn it on. Yeah. We need more of that, right? Like Florida, Tampa Bay. I'm telling you, that first Saturday night when they played in November, I was glued to it. Nothing happened, unfortunately. But I still like the potential of it is just as good to sell, right? Like, look at these other sports. They sell stizzle. Like, look at Jake Paul. His boxing matches are an absolute joke. They're an absolute farce. And people go, why? I think the NHL has to start selling and promoting the angle of animosity. And the players need to recognize, you know what? If we want more people to watch our game, we have to bring in a little bit of that. Look at the NBA. The NBA chirps. They do it all the time. It's great. NHL guys say nothing. And, like, Hathaway should have come out afterwards. And I can't wait to see Hathaway. Like, you know, you're not going to say I'm going to kill him or nothing. Of course, you're not saying stupid. But there's lots of ways to do it, right? Or get one of the other water bugs. Lizotte's about 5'8", I think, right? So, you know, he's like eye-to-eye with Tom Gazzola. So why not have him, you know, get another guy that size out there chirping him?
Yeah, it is true. And, you know, I always felt that way that, you know, I try to look after the big guys. Like, I fight the bigger guys. You know, I arguably could do well or not. But if a small little guy was running around, like, someone else had to do it, right? Like, I don't want to go and do this again. You know, someone else take care of this. So I think that's fair there. As far as the rivalries, I agree. I think they really tried that. Remember when they stacked up all the games that was in your division? And it almost went the other way because you got tired of playing the same guys all the time. So I don't think the formula yet has been discovered by the NHL about how to promote and kind of build off those rivalries. Obviously, I think when two teams are doing well, it makes a big difference. Like, you look at the Oilers and Flames. When they played a couple of years ago and they were in the playoffs and they had that amazing series, like chaos. I think the first game, I forget what it was, you remember, it's 9-7 or something. Like, that was unbelievable hockey. So the better the two teams are, it is. I think maybe you focus on that. If you are the league and you see that the Oilers and Flames are both good, let's promote that and put that on our website or promote it on our socials.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, Josie. Hey, Stratty, did you make the roster for the Oilers alumni against Shorzy?
I don't know. I kind of slipped my name in there, and I haven't heard back. So maybe I'm out. You know, I mean, my stats have been middling, I guess, when you start looking at my numbers recently at some of the charity tournaments. You know, 2-3 points a game, I guess that's not enough. I don't know what more they want, but I'd like one more chance to shut down TR, right? Put him in his place.
Oh, God, yeah. Why not? You should. It'd be fun, right? Old school, buckets off at center ice. Old WHL, Strutty.
You know, by the way, I love the Sharks, how they all went no buckets the other night. What was it, Saturday night? Yeah. Friday night or Saturday night?
Yeah.
I love that. I remember we used to, like, things weren't going well, and the captain come in and say, guys, no helmets for a warm-up. Oh, man. I'd get the blow dryer out, a little bit dippity-doo, and get it just right. Looked unreal when I'd hit that ice on a Saturday night. I love what the Sharks did there.
Well, yeah, they're not the first team. A few other teams have done it. Because now, of course, guess what, Strutty? The fun police sent a memo out. Players who have come in the league in the last 5 years should be wearing their helmet. Like, just another. Like, I know that Taylor Hall. It's one time. Taylor Hall had the freak accident, right? So you talk to players, and somebody might get a puck and you get a stitch here or there. Like, who cares? Marketing for your players, for all your, it's a small little thing. I agree with you. Just, it's comical that they're like, no, can't, now you got it. Now we can't do it because one injury, like, so dumb.
No, it's yeah, no, it's true. And I remember we did it one time in the minors, and Jamie McLennan was our goalie. And I was skating around, and someone shot it, and he blockered it off. And, you know, they punch it out. He punched it, it hit me right in the face, and I got cut for stitches under my eye. And, you know, I had to go get stitches after. And honestly, that was probably the best save Noodles made all night, because he didn't play much more after that. And I had these stitches under my eye. I'm like, is it worth it? He still laughs about it all these years later, like. I'm like, that was the best save you had, man. Like, God, frustrating.
Oh, well, it's funny, Strady. So two of your close friends gave you face shots the minute they could in hockey. That's what I'm taking away from this. Nate fixed your teeth for you, and Noodles tried to make you a little prettier. Not a surprise.
No. Well, actually, I was out in St. Albert, and there's a Wall of Fame, and Nathan Dempsey's on there. And I was like, how much do you pay to get your name on there? Jason Holland's on there, Joel McGinley. Like, that must be a pretty... It's like, don't you have to pay for the Wall of Fame or the Walk of Fame in L.A.?
Yes.
Or do you just get invited?
It's like the little plaque there, right? But it's always like guys who, like, did they play one game for St. Albert and then they're on there?
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Well, they drove by St. Albert, it's questionable. They just drove by it. They get invited in there.
Well, they weren't allowed in regularly. Hey, let's not kid ourselves. They're not quality enough to stay there full time.
So you say. So you say.
Strady, have a good one, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy the game, guys. Thanks.
There you go.